Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome to the Friday Betting Show, which is streaming now across Twitter, Facebook and YouTube. Today I'm joined in studio by Raf Diallo and Ronan Mullen, and Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports joins us from a far more exotic place than this studio. So obviously Liverpool-Manchester United is the big one this weekend. We'll preview that and all of the weekend football action. We'll look through the movement on the market. If you want to get in touch on all our social channels over the next half an hour, you'll be in with a chance of winning some great prizes with thanks to Boyle Sports. We've three €50 credits to give away across our social media accounts. And remember, folks, always gamble responsibly and only bet what you can afford. Before we get into that, let's look at the Boyle Sports offers this week. We should be able to get them up on screen for you there. If you want to bet €10, you can, as I said, if you bet €10, get €50 on offtheball.com/Boyle Sports. That's for new customers. And we have a treble offer. We'll get to that in a second. But both teams to score offer, Liverpool to win, and both teams to score was 2-1. That has now gone to 3-1. And I think a lot of people fancy Liverpool to win. Of course, we'll get into that very shortly. Let's go to the next one, Manchester City and Everton. So Manchester City offer, City to score 4 or more goals. It was 7-4. It's now 5-2. And then we have another offer. This is the Sunday treble. All these games on Sunday. Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool to win was 3-1. That is now 4-1. So some good offers there. And this is, as John Duggan, who usually sits in this seat, would say, this is where we take a look at last week's bets and we can, do the walk of shame. But there's not much shame to be had because we actually had a really good week last week. There was only one person that let us down, and surprise, surprise, it was Kevin Kilbane. Not here to defend his honour, but he didn't come up trumps. But the rest of us did. John Duggan's bet came through. I'm happy to say mine did as well. Stephen Doyle, Leon's. But this was John's. West Ham to beat Crystal Palace. Came from behind at halftime, 6-5. So John's bet came through there. And I think a few of us had West Ham in our bets. Obviously sweating a bit at halftime when Palace were one up. We can get some of the other bets as well, just to let you know that Kev's bet, he had Burnley to beat Brighton. That came through, obviously. 1-0 win for Burnley, but Manchester City to win didn't happen. I mean, the first 20 minutes, they were blistering against Chelsea, but Chelsea won, so that's why Kev's bet was let down. And we'll try and get another one up on screen for you before so we get into this weekend's games. Stephen Doyle's bet West Ham to win over 1.5 goals, a 3-2 win for West Ham. So Steve-O came up trumps there as well. And my own bet, I had West Ham to win and Burnley to win. That came through at 6-1. And Leon as well then went for a treble. So we had Spurs to win, Arsenal to win, and Manchester United to win. That came in at 7-2. So almost a clean sweep. But let's hope for more of the same this week.
The Friday Football Betting Show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder. Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price. Try it today at offtheball.com/Boyle Sports.
Okay, only one place to start, Liverpool and Manchester United. And let's go to a very sunny place. Is it sunny, Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports? You're in Lanzarote.
Yeah, we are, Phil. It is sunny. Beautiful weather. Obviously a lot warmer than it is at home, but looking forward to this game on Sunday, Phil. It's
you've got somewhere to watch it anyway.
Yeah, I'll definitely have somewhere to watch it, that's for sure. But look, the last few kind of Liverpool Man United games in the Premier League, they've been quite boring. And that's all down to one man, and that's Jose Mourinho. And I'm sure he would snap your hand off right now if you offered him a nil-all or maybe a one-all draw on Sunday afternoon. Look, it's up to Liverpool. They're the home team. They've got to try and create chances, which I'm sure they're quite capable of doing. The defensive injuries are starting to mount, however, for Liverpool. No Gomez, no Matip, no Trent Alexander-Arnold. So, you know, Lovren will probably come back in and play alongside Van Dijk, and then it's probably going to be James Milner playing right full as he did against Bournemouth last week. So, you know, it's not Klopp's preferred back four. But I think when you saw the game against Napoli, they're creating so many chances now, Liverpool. Mane could have had a hat-trick. Salah could have had a couple. I mean, you would fancy Liverpool to get the job done. They're 4-7. Manchester United are as big as 5-1. And the draw, which has been backfill, it initially opened up at 7-2. It's now into 3-1. But I think Liverpool, at the minute, they're on the crest of a wave. And Jurgen Klopp will finally want to beat Mourinho in the Premier League. I don't think he's done it so far.
He hasn't done it. Raf, this is the exact game Jose loves.
It is, and it takes me back to, do you remember Red Monday? Build as
I was at it.
Oh, were you at it?
Oh, I was desperate.
Unlucky.
It was awful. The probably the most exciting part of it was before the game started and Mourinho walked out and the press were everywhere. His press conference after was more entertaining than the actual game.
Yeah, it was the whole build-up to that game, I remember. From Sky, it was kind of being billed. Obviously, the Red Monday tag and everything. And then I think it's the fact that it was built up so much then it actually proved to be such a letdown. But yeah, no, Klopp hasn't exactly had the best luck against Mourinho of late when it's been Man United, Liverpool. But I think if Liverpool score first, though, I think that's what will change. And Mo Salah has this track record now of actually scoring like the first goal in games at the moment. So if that happens, I think Liverpool will do it. But otherwise, if it tails into the second half, Man United can actually set back, I think.
Yeah, and Ronan, the way you can imagine the way United are going to set up, they're going to be very defensive, and Mourinho takes pride of the fact that Liverpool are talked about as this great attacking side, and he just negates it, he takes it away, and you know he'll be criticised, I'm sure, after the game, like he was 2 years ago for that Red Monday, and he said, well, if they're so good, how come they couldn't score against us?
I know, and like Man United fans will tell you that if he was playing a defensive game plan that was actually working this season, it wouldn't be as big of an issue. But he's setting up defensively and they're still leaking goals all the time. So it's the worst of both worlds as far as Man United fans are concerned. And this season, from a Liverpool point of view, and Leon touched on it, their defensive frailties might come into play here because the attacking trio haven't quite clicked until the last maybe couple of weeks. Bournemouth last week especially, and then Napoli, they probably should have put them away a bit more comfortably. But they have relied a lot on their defence this season, like one goal at most in most of their games this season. So I think if Liverpool score in this game at the weekend, it's going to be tricky for United to regain parity. And while United have tended to come out in games once they've gone behind, I just don't think it's going to work this weekend. Liverpool just pick them off on the break, and it could be any number this weekend, you know?
Yeah, Leon, that's key, I suppose. If Liverpool do score an early goal, I think a lot of neutrals would like to see that, because in fairness to United, the best we've seen of them this season, that has only been moments, but it's when they go behind.
Yeah, look, it is when they go behind. But I think, as the lads have touched on, I think if they go behind against Liverpool, I don't see Manchester United being able to do. Having gone 2-0 down against Newcastle, come back and won 3-2. We all remember that fabulous game last year when they were 2-0 down against Man City and they came back and won 3-2. But I think the key for Liverpool here is you've got to set the tempo very early. They've got to get at United. United's back four is dreadful. It's absolutely awful. It doesn't matter which back four he picks. They just can't defend. They're giving away, I think they've almost conceded, Phil, as many goals nearly at this stage of the season as they did in the entire campaign last year. So something has gone horribly wrong in terms of Manchester United and how they're setting up. Maybe it's the protection or lack of protection in front of the back four. But I think Liverpool, I do expect a couple of changes to be made. I'd like to see Klopp start with an attacking formation. I think Shaqiri with the other three front, or the other front three lads. I think you've got to start the four boys at home against United. Set down a template, set down the marker. And it's a big opportunity for Liverpool to get another massive win in what's looking like a very, very intriguing season.
Yeah, Leon, do you get many bets on specific goal scorers? One thing I've noticed about United this season, and actually under Mourinho, is they've been actually quite poor defending set pieces. I'm wondering maybe is that somewhere that Liverpool could exploit? Every time Liverpool get a corner, I just think Virgil van Dijk is going to score, but he hasn't scored. He scored in his debut in the Cup against Everton, but he hasn't scored since.
I think teams, Phil, I think you probably touched on this maybe last weekend on last week's show. I think a lot of sides now are trying just to block van Dijk. A lot of people know that he is the main threat, whether it be from a defensive corner or whether it be trying to score at the other end. He's the main man who normally gets his head on 90 to 95% of crosses. He's that good. But I just think looking at Salah And I just think the form he's in at the minute, he's playing so well, Phil. And I think I wouldn't be surprised at all if Klopp sticks him in that number nine role on Sunday, puts Firmino behind him and puts Mane and Shaqiri on either wing, because I think his pace can absolutely cause the Manchester United defenders nightmares, both before the game and, of course, during the game. I think United might be able to score. I just don't like the look of Lovren. You saw him come on the other night, and he was at fault for giving Napoli that chance where they nearly knocked Liverpool out of the Champions League. Milner at right full, I'm not too concerned. He's a 7 out of 10 player most weeks. But it's just Lovren. Maybe playing beside Van Dijk now for a run of games might just help him settle in, because Gomez and Matip are both gone now for the next 4 to 5 weeks at least.
Raf, Paul Pogba missed a sitter against Valencia the other night.
And this was supposed to be his audition.
Yeah.
And, well, it's not like a quite an X-Factor audition in that sense. Like, it failed miserably. So I think, as Leon was talking about playing that attacking formation and putting Shaqiri in there, without Pogba there, which I'm presuming he's going to be dropped, and if Mourinho goes to these mad dogs that he's talking about in terms of attitude in midfield...
Herrera.
Having Matic in there, maybe McTominay or somebody like that comes in.
He'd probably go with three... stroke five at the back, I'd imagine.
He could do, yeah. Although in his most recent fixtures, he seems to be going 4-3-3, and then at that point, it seems to be either Lindelof, if fit, and another Bailly seems to have got back into the team. But I think Liverpool can probably go for that attacking formation, presuming Pogba isn't there, and that midfield is only set up defensively, because, well, it could be Fellaini maybe coming in either. But then again, I kind of presume he actually might come in as an impact sub, as tends to happen.
Yeah, Ronan, if United were to win, what does it do for Mourinho?
It's difficult. Like, it's only a stay of execution for him. You can't really see him being there beyond the end of this season anyway. And bizarrely, I'd say most Man United fans would probably argue that if a heavy defeat on Sunday meant he was out the door, I'd say a good proportion of them might take that, you know. But in terms
it's incredible. Like, that's where it's got to.
It's unbelievable to think that. But honestly, it's going that way, it seems. And in terms of how United are going to set up, I think one of their most impressive performances of the season was away at Stamford Bridge. And Juan Mata was integral in that game, and he has a good record at Anfield, contributes assists and has chipped in with a few goals as well. Even in that game under Louis van Gaal a couple of years ago, he was excellent that day. And while I understand Mourinho's prototype is hitting teams on the break and leaving those front three with pace up front, if there's no one to link that play, those lads are just on an island up there. And if you have Mata in there with two, as Raf said, mad dogs to win the ball back, you need a link man. I think if United are going to try and hit Liverpool on the break, he would be a key element of that.
And I mean, Fulham were probably not the toughest team they were going to face last week, but Mata made such a difference in terms of playing in those little pockets. Even, I think, the goal they set up for might have been Lukaku's tap-in.
Yeah.
I think it's Mata that made the run in behind and just, you know, passed it in. So I would hope, if you're talking from a United perspective, I'd like to see him start, because it's an interesting introduction, and maybe two others, maybe a Matic and maybe another Herrera.
Yeah,
the mad dogs, as Mourinho calls them.
Leon, I can't imagine there's too many people that are going to back United, but certain other things to look at, maybe the thoughts of a red card in this fixture. It's going to be fiery. We mentioned someone like Herrera. I remember Steven Gerrard got sent off a few seasons ago for standing on Herrera. You know, the fact that Liverpool are, well, they might be top of the league come 4 o'clock on Sunday, but this is going to be killing United. They're 16 points behind them, so they're going to... This is going to be a spicy affair on Sunday.
Oh, it certainly is, Phil. And look, I mean, it goes back to over the last kind of many years that United had been dominant. Liverpool would be in this position, 15, 16, 17 points behind United. And it almost came down to making your season if you were able to beat United. And I'm sure Jose Mourinho will know all about that. He's well used to going to Anfield and causing big upsets. Remember him running down the touchline when Demba Ba scored that goal a couple of seasons ago when Rodgers was in charge. So there's no love lost between Mourinho and Liverpool. But I just have a feeling, Phil, at the moment, Klopp is bound to beat Mourinho sooner rather than later in the Premier League. And I think it's going to happen this Sunday, even with the couple of defensive players that are missing. I just think Liverpool at the moment, they're starting to get their groove back. They're starting to create an awful lot more chances than they did in the first part of the season. And that probably what was so impressive. They were winning games early in the season, playing poorly. And that's normally the sign of a team who's going to go very close in the Championship.
Yeah, it should be a good one. You'll be able to hear it on Off the Ball on News Talk, 4 o'clock Nathan Murphy, Kevin Coban are at Anfield, and Kevin Coban's a good omen for Liverpool fans. He was left sick there a couple of weeks ago when Divock Origi scored in the Merseyside derby. I mentioned that Liverpool mightn't be top of the table come 4 o'clock on Sunday because Manchester City can overtake them to play Everton in the lunchtime game tomorrow. And this is actually a fixture, Ronan, that has caused City a bit of trouble. I can actually think back to a few seasons ago when Stekelenburg saved a couple of penalties in this one and Everton got a draw. Actually, a certain Lukaku scored that day for Everton. But City made a few changes during the week, but you know, they're still creating chances. That is the defeat to Chelsea going to have any impact on them?
It's difficult to know, but the point I will make is that while there's a lot made of the Pep Guardiola philosophy, the players are still a key component of that. And when Kevin De Bruyne is out, David Silva steps up to the mark even more than normal, and he's obviously gone as well. Yeah. So at a certain point, you are going to feel those losses, and Everton are no mugs, and they can really play ball in midfield. And unless City really stamp their authority in the early going, I think Everton can really get at them. And we saw Everton at Anfield, whether they probably should have won that game, at least a draw, and they were on course for a draw were it not for your favourite goalkeeper making a bit of a header at the end. But I think Everton have a chance. While City would still be favourites, I'd still give Everton a decent chance at the weekend.
Yeah, Everton are just they're at that stage where you can see the improvement. They're a lot easier on the eye. But I think it's still a frailty. Yeah, we saw it against Watford.
At both ends. Like, Richarlison is scoring, well, he has 8 goals now for the season, but they don't have that kind of proper centre forward. Like, Cenk Tosun kind of came in, and he's a Sam Allardyce buy. He's not really getting into the team now. And then at the other end, and of course, there's Walcott, who always has struggled to produce. And then at the other end, of course, they're leaking goals. I watched a bit of the Watford game, and you did see that frailty. They have definitely improved, and we saw that against Liverpool when they ran them quite close until Pickford did what he did. But yeah, just given the fact that it isn't at Goodison, I think that tips it slightly in Man City's favour in that sense.
Yeah, Leon, it's probably not a good time for Everton to play City because it's hard to imagine the way they have been under Pep Guardiola losing back-to-back league games. But you know, if Everton were to get a draw, they'd be delighted, and you know, people would be starting to think, right, we really do have a title race.
Yeah, look, and I was very impressed with Everton, Phil, against Liverpool. They weren't afraid to actually get on the ball. And I think against Manchester City, if you're just going to try and go there and defend and kick it long and give it back to them and let them come back at you over and over and over again, there's only going to be one outcome. You've got to be brave. You've got to want to go and attack City. You saw with Chelsea, City were phenomenal for the first probably 20, 25 minutes. But Chelsea weathered that storm. They slowly but surely came back into it and they got that crucial goal. Scoring first against City, Phil, is massive. If you fall behind, you're pretty much setting right into their hands where you've got to go and chase it, try and get an equaliser. And more often than not, they'll just be able to pick you off and get two and maybe even three. Hugely impressed with Everton. They do need a proper number 9. I think that'll be addressed. If it's not addressed in January, it'll definitely be addressed in the summer. But Everton plus 2 has come in for quite a bit of support. It was 5-4, it's now into 6-5, and it's heading towards that even money mark. And what that means, obviously, is if they lose by one goal, you get paid. But getting a plus 2 head start against City, it's not a bad thing at a 12:30 kickoff. City, more often than not, as well, in the early kickoffs, it tends to take them almost the first half to warm into it. It certainly takes their crowd at least 45 minutes to get behind the team in these early kickoffs. So I like the look of that. Everton plus 2 at 6-5.
Yeah, Raf, the thing about City is they're winning games. Okay, they obviously lost last week, but they're not banging in a load of goals at the moment because Aguero's out. Gabriel Jesus, he didn't have a good World Cup. He missed one against Hoffenheim from a few yards out. Yeah. It hit the post. You just feel he needs to score a goal because his confidence looks shot at the moment.
His confidence definitely is shot. But then even Aguero, say, if you're taking this fixture, Everton's the team he's had the least luck in terms of the 31 teams he's faced in the Premier League. So it's not a given. And I know these stats can actually be meaningless once he bangs in a hat-trick in the game. But yeah, Jesus, I remember that World Cup, well, obviously, because it's not that long ago that we were in the studio talking about it. But he's not a pure number nine, which I think is also the other issue. But then maybe Pep doesn't necessarily play that way. But yeah, he is lacking a bit of confidence, and yeah, he does need a goal pretty, like he started his City career pretty well, but he seems to have tailed off quite quickly. But he's very young as well.
Yeah, he's still only 21. Just to let you know, the first winner of our €50 free credit with Boyle Sports, Owen Murray on YouTube, who thinks Liverpool and Man City both to win with both teams to score in each game is a good shout this weekend. So City against Everton and Liverpool against United. So it is a clash of Merseyside against Manchester this weekend. Let's take a look at Tottenham and Burnley. Tottenham, you know, not many people gave them a chance of getting into the last 16 of the Champions League, Ronan. They get the draw in the new camp. But looking at their league form, what I like about Tottenham, it's all or nothing. No draws. The only team in the four divisions of English football not to draw a game. They've won 12 and they're only 6 points behind Liverpool.
Yeah, it's an interesting, it's hard to really nail down if it's been a good or a bad season for Tottenham. Obviously, the stadium issue has hung over the entire thing. And that, we talk in stats and like tactics a lot, but there's a lot to be said for the feel-good factor that that result during the week is going to give them. And if they had have been knocked out of the Champions League, you know, on a low ebb, it might have affected their form going into Christmas. And I just think they're on a bit of a bounce now. They played quite well in the second half the other night. So I think they're coming into a little bit of form. And once they get the outside factors resolved, I think on the pitch, Pochettino's really, like, the philosophy's really ingrained now. And as I touched on earlier, I think regardless of personnel, I think he's going to get a level of performance out of that team regardless. And they're getting to that level where they're going to challenge and they're going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season, I think.
Leon, Burnley got a draw at Wembley last season. Chris Wood scored a late goal, but I wouldn't imagine too many people are back in the draw this time.
No, not a lot of people, Phil. The only thing about Burnley is they got that win last weekend, and that'll do wonders for their confidence. You probably would have liked an easier fixture to try and back it up with another victory. Certainly travelling to Wembley to play a Spurs side, as the lads have just said, who are going to be on the crest of a wave. Nobody gave them a prayer, including me, about getting out of that group after the first, I think it was three matches. But to get out of it, yes, they got a little bit of luck in the final game, but they made their own luck. And they went to the new camp and they got a much-deserved point. So even last weekend, Phil, I was amazed he left out Harry Kane and Christian Eriksen of the starting lineup against Leicester. But what it does is it gives the other guys a chance to come in and show Pochettino, look, if you need me, I'm here. And they delivered. So you'd expect Spurs to get all 3 points. They're 2-11. To do so. Burnley are as big as 16-1. What I would say here, however, is I think Sean Dyche, he definitely went back to basics last week when they got that victory. And I think Burnley will try and keep it extremely tight for as long as they possibly can. So maybe draw half-time, Spurs full-time is the way to be looking at this fixture.
Okay, so I think most of us would agree Spurs to win. Let's just, before we get into this week's bets, let's look at Sunday's games. Obviously, Liverpool and Manchester United is attracting most of the headlines. Chelsea away to Brighton, Arsenal away to Southampton. Both were able to field weakened teams, Raf, in the Europa League. Would you expect both of them to win?
Maybe not necessarily Chelsea, actually, because Brighton have only, you know, they've only lost one game at home.
Yeah, home is
Chelsea
where they do,
have actually lost their last two away as well. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean much in a head-to-head matchup, but obviously you've Glenn Murray there for Chelsea, for Brighton, who's in very, very good form. And
he's playing that well, he could end up at Chelsea.
He definitely could, at whatever age he is now, 35 or 36. You'd still tip Chelsea, but I wouldn't rule out Brighton. I mean, I think they've only lost to Tottenham at home so far this season. And then for Arsenal, Southampton are in awful form. Mm. They don't really score that many goals. They're not the worst scorers in the league either, but they don't seem to... Like, I watched the Cardiff game and the mistake by Vestergaard. It just seems everything seems to be going wrong for them.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible place to be in. And Arsenal have so many weapons up front, even though they can't defend themselves. So I would actually tip Arsenal.
Yeah, what do you think, Ronan? Do you think Ralf Hasenhüttl has had enough time to work his magic on the training ground?
Oh, it's hard to know, but like he made some interesting comments when he first came in that I have a certain way I'm going to try and play in the long term, but in the short term it's all about results, and this is the kind of game where you have to try and come away with a point at least. And while it's quite early to see how he's going to go about that, I think he might be able to engineer something, and Charlie Austin obviously has a good record against Arsenal, has scored in all his games against them, I think, so... it's going to be a case of trying to nick something and trying to contain Arsenal as best they can while you still make Arsenal favourites. You know, Southampton at home are a tough out, as United saw a couple of weeks ago.
OK, Leon, we're going to get into the bets in just a moment. Is there any of those games tomorrow maybe that interest you? I'm looking at Crystal Palace and Leicester, and everyone would presume that Leicester are going to win because Palace aren't doing well. But that might be an upset there, where Palace at Sellers Park, they got their home win there a few weeks ago, that maybe they could upset Leicester, who don't tend to lose too many games, but they're not winning that many games either.
No, they're certainly not winning that many games. And the bookmakers agree with you, Phil. We have Palace as favourites at 13-8. Leicester are just under 2-1 at 19-10. And Palace, after getting that home victory, they were just all over the place against Brighton. I don't know what seemed to happen to them. Even when Brighton had the man sent off, they didn't really capitalise. I know the guy who came on almost scored immediately, but everything that could have went wrong did go wrong. Leicester are playing well without getting enough victories. I'm a huge fan of Maddison. Yeah, I think he's going to move on from Leicester. I think we'll see him maybe next season at a far bigger club, no disrespect, but I think he has all the makings of a top, top quality player. I think maybe a draw, Phil. I'd probably sit on the fence with that one. But the one that I am looking forward to seeing is the late game on Saturday night, Fulham against West Ham. And it's a London derby. West Ham are going for 4 on the spin, which would be a remarkable achievement. 29-20 for the Hammers. I just think Fulham are too big at 2-1 at home. I know it's Ranieri's, what is it, his third game, maybe his fourth game in charge. I just think when you see Ranieri, when he gets a couple of weeks with a side, I just think at 2-1 at home, I think both teams will score. This could be any scoreline. But I just like the look of Fulham, half 5 kickoff, to maybe just nick 3 points against West Ham.
Yeah, that'll be the half 5 game. Right, let's get into this week's bets. As I said, last week we had a very successful hit rate. And this is my bet. We obviously talked about Liverpool, Manchester United. I just think it's going to be a draw. I think Mourinho is going to set up so defensively. People say, oh, he doesn't have the personnel. But when they have so many numbers behind the ball, I think they're just going to frustrate Liverpool. Liverpool probably won't want to take risks and get caught out by the likes of Rashford on the break, so I've gone for a draw in that one.
Yeah, and for my one as well, in terms of my bet there, it's Huddersfield Newcastle 0-0 exact score. Just, and there's a few kind of reasons why that is. Huddersfield are the lower scorers, they obviously have home advantage, but Newcastle are actually decent away, and the only teams they've lost to away from home are the two Manchester clubs, and outside of that then, against teams around them away from home, they drew 0-0 with Cardiff, drew 0-0 with Southampton, and then drew 0-0 with Palace. So I think there's a pattern emerging here.
Yeah, it's a cool bet, but it's definitely a game you probably wouldn't want to watch.
Probably not, no.
Not without Aaron Moy. Aaron Moy, my doppelganger, he's out for a few months now, injured. Ronan, you're looking at a game that we were talking about earlier on. We're talking about Manchester City and Everton. You fancy a draw here?
Yeah, I'm going out on a limb a little bit, but I just think Everton have been the best they've been in about 5 seasons in terms of points tally, and certainly performances on the pitch. While they're short and out number 9, I think they can hurt Man City. And like, the one thing about Marco Silva, he's going to be proactive. You know, he's not going to, as Leon alluded to earlier, he's not going to go there and sit back. So they're going to have a proactive game plan to try and get at Man City, and I think they're going to score. So City will probably score as well. I just think on the balance of play, Everton might just be able to nick something given City's injuries and their lack of firepower up front. As you said, Gabriel Jesus not quite firing on all cylinders, and Aguero has a pretty poor record against Everton. So I'm going to go for a draw, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, this is it, lads. This is what happens. You put your neck on the line. Kev, you know, he's due a win. He's gone for Watford to win, Tottenham to win, and Liverpool to win. Watford are at home to Cardiff. Obviously, Tottenham at home to Burnley, and he's gone then for Liverpool to win at home to Manchester United. So that comes in at 3-1. And that leaves us then with your bet, Leon. What do you think of the lads' bets there?
Yeah, but to listen to him, I hope they're right. I hope everything can nick a draw away against City. It'll keep the league going a little bit longer. Huddersfield against Newcastle, yeah, you certainly wouldn't want to be commentating on that one. I don't think there'll be too much action. But for my own self, Phil, I'm going well at the minute. 3 out of the last 4 weeks we've clicked. I'm gone a little bit chancy. I already talked about Fulham. I just have a feeling with Ranieri at home against West Ham, he might be able to out-tinker Pellegrini. So I've put them in, and I've also put Watford at home against Cardiff. I think if you were looking at just one bet this week and you wanted a single bet, 8-13, Watford at home to beat Cardiff. But when you put Watford in a double alongside of Fulham, it works out just under 4-1 at 15-4.
Okay, that is all our bets. Thanks very much. And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. Plenty of games. As I said, if you want to listen to that Liverpool and Manchester United one, it's on News Talk from 4 o'clock. Nathan Murphy and Kevin Comban. Thanks very much, Raf, Ronan, cheers, Leon and Lanzarote. The Dog and Duck, Leon, that's where you should be going to watch. There's a pub in Lanzarote in Puerto del Carmen called The Dog and Duck. That's where you should be watching the game on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, I'll have a look for it, Phil. On your head be it.
Okay, lovely stuff. And thanks for tuning in. Remember, always gamble responsibly and don't bet too big. And we'll be back next week. Until then, have a great weekend.
The Friday Football Betting Show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder. Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price. Try it today at offtheball.com/boylesports.